Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Recently, at the West Virginia District Conference of the United Pentecostal Church International, our district superintendent, my friend, Pastor Dan Garlitz, delivered a message which was entitled Stay the Work, that was targeted to the church and targeted to the ministry. But today, as we play this broadcast for you, I want to repurpose it for the dads in our audience. I want to tell you your best days are ahead of you, the best days for your family are ahead of you, and when it comes to being a father, stay the work. Enjoy this message from West Virginia Superintendent Dan Garlitz.
They said, Brother Garlitz, what are you going to do when you're not superintendent anymore? I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to have at least 5 home Bible studies a week. Every preacher in here ought to be teaching a home Bible study. I'm going to say it again. There's very few response. Every preacher in this building ought to be teaching a home Bible study. Stay to work. In verse number 6, Haggai the prophet of God goes on to say some more things from the Lord. And he said, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here's what God is saying to you. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. In verse 7, he said, I'll shake all the nations, and the desire of all nations will come. And he said, I will fill this house that you think is so pitiful and so small. And maybe you come to this conference and you're sitting listening to this preacher tonight, and maybe you think that the work that you're doing is pitiful and it's small. I got a word from the Lord for you tonight. Stay to work! Stay to work! He wants to bring glory to the house that you're building for glory and honor to His name. Yeah. And so Haggai says, Lord said, I'm going to shake the nations. The desire of all nations is going to come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord God Almighty. And then he said, in case you don't really know it, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. When you look back to Solomon's temple, all you can think about is the silver and gold. I want you to know, I've got all the silver, I own all the gold. In fact, the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to me. And if I want silver and gold, there'll be silver and gold there. But what I'm really looking for is glory. I'm looking for some glory in my house. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. I'm craving for the glory of God to fill the house. Hallelujah. It's not about our HVAC. It's not necessarily about our padded pews and carpet and all of our modern technology. We can have all of that and no glory. But I'm telling you, I'm looking for a place where God dwells and where the glory of His Spirit is. This is an hour where we're being invited to substitute the glory of God for entertainment, to substitute the glory of God with drama, to substitute the glory of God with program and technology. I'm going to tell you, all those things are great, but they cannot take the place of the glory of God. And then he makes this profound statement to these people that were looking at what they were doing as pitiful and small and insignificant. I know in my soul, I am preaching to some preacher right now. You think what you're doing is small and insignificant, and it really wouldn't matter if you packed your suitcases and left town. That's what the devil wants. But God's got a message for you. You're not just here by happenstance tonight. The Holy Ghost designed for you to be here. And he wants you to know that the glory of a latter house is going to be greater than the former. Woo! Hallelujah. And he said, in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord God. What was God telling his people at this particular juncture of time? I'll tell you what he was telling them. He was telling them the best is yet to come. Everybody say it, the best is yet to come. Some of y'all are still living in the past. You're having trouble saying that. You think the best is past. Is there anybody here tonight who will believe the word of the Lord that the best is yet to come? The best days in the West Virginia district are yet to come. The best revival in this state is yet to come. I want you to stand, everybody, with me right now, and I want you to raise your hands up toward the Lord, and I want you to ask Him to change your perspective. I'm not done. Come on, pray. God, change my perspective. Change me before I leave this building tonight. Change the way I look at things. Change the way I see the church. Change the way I see my ministry. Change the way. Change the way I see myself in your presence, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Anoint my mind tonight. Anoint me, oh God. Let me see as you see. You can be seated. You see, God was telling the people at this juncture, the best is yet to come. Because, why? Because the perspective of the people was wrong. They believed that nothing could ever compare to what was in the past. That nothing they did could ever compare to what Solomon did. But, oh, we long for the good old days, they said. But you know what God wanted them to get a hold of? He wanted them to see themselves like He saw them. And God said, my ways is far above yours as the heavens are above the earth. I don't see things like you see them. You see the good old days as something that you long for, you wish you could go back to. But God says, I'm calling you to quit looking back and start looking forward. Y'all not getting it tonight. The best revival is yet to happen in Tornado, West Virginia. The best revival in Tornado, Brother Coleman, was never when my daddy preached a revival in your little church there in Tornado. That wasn't the best revival. The best revival in Huntington has yet to happen. Can somebody see it? The best revival in Kaiser, West Virginia is yet to happen. God said, if I wanted you to build an elaborate temple better than Solomon's, then I'd give you all the gold and silver you needed. But he tells these people, he said, listen, my glory is going to fill this house. And it's going to be greater than anything Solomon ever did. And I race ahead in the pages and I get over into the New Testament. And one day I hear Jesus teaching. And he said, y'all talk and put such big stock in store in Solomon's temple. But he said, I tell you, a greater than Solomon is here. Yes. You see, you don't see what God sees. Brother Forsyth, you don't see what God sees in Wheeling. You've been up there grinding and grinding and grinding and grinding and grinding. Stay to work! I'm speaking to a home missionary that's weary and tired tonight. Stay to work! I'm talking to an aged pastor tonight. And you're thinking about how it was in the good old days, and you're wondering what tomorrow will bring and what will be the future of the church. if I die or if I go home to meet the Lord, what's going to happen to my church? Stay to work! The church is in God's hands. It's going to be just fine. You see, the best days of the church are ahead of us. Don't let your perspective get trapped in the good old days. The best is yet to come. Metaphorically, I see the church in 2010 in a particular passage in the book of the Song of Solomon. It's in the chapter 6 in verse 9. It begins and it says, "My dove, my undefiled is but one, and she is the only one of her mother." Hey folks, there's only one church. I come against this ecumenical spirit that wants to blend us all together. I'm going to talk more about that just a little bit. I'm going to let you go in time to enjoy the ladies' ministry and all that, and we've got ordination to do in a moment. Said she's the only one of her mother. She's the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and concubines, and they praised her. And then he says, "Who is she? Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? That is as fair as the moon, and that is as clear as the sun, and as terrible as an army with banners." Who is this? I want to say metaphorically, it's the church. I want to say it's the church. She looks forth in the morning. What does that say to you? I'll tell you what it says to me. It says the church is a place of hope. Hallelujah.
Yes.
It's a place of promise. Just for the fun of it, I was sitting in my computer and I Googled, what is a day? And one of the responses that came up said, it's the time after sunrise and before sunset. The time after sunrise and before sunset. Folks, we are living in the day. The night cometh, the scripture says, when no man can, what?
Work.
Stay the work.
Yeah, right.
We used to sing a song many, many years ago when I was just a youngin'. We'll work till Jesus comes and then be gathered home.
Yes. All right. We'll work.
Excuse me for being just maybe in contradiction to your theology. This preacher may retire from pastoring, but he's never going to retire from preaching. We'll work till Jesus comes and then be gathered home. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something, preacher. You're not a contractor. You're not an engineer. You're not just an educator. You're not a politician. You're not a lawyer. You're a God-called preacher. And the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Stay to work. Stay to work. Stay to work. If you can't pastor anymore, teach home Bible studies. Go to the nursing home. Preach in the prison. Hello? This is not my profession. This is not my career. This is my calling. And if you're not called, get out of the job.
Yeah. This is our life. This is our life.
Paul said it this way, whether I live or whether I die, I belong to Him. It's all about Jesus. Praise God. Metaphorically, the church looks forth as the day. Praise God. Time of hope. Hallelujah. She is as fair as the moon. Hallelujah. Fair as the moon. The moon doesn't have light of itself. And we need to understand this, church. To be the church God wants us to be in the 21st century, we got to understand, just like the church of the first century, that it's all about Him. It's not about us, it's about Him. That's what God was trying to get across to Zerubbabel and the people that were rebuilding the temple. You see, it was 500 years later when Jesus walked through Zerubbabel's temple in his earthly ministry. And the Prince of Peace showed up, and the glory of the Almighty God, robed in human flesh, walked into that temple. Stay to work! I don't know if it's going to be 5 years or 500 years, but I'm telling you, if you'll stay the work, God will bring glory to that work you've got your hands involved in. Fair as the moon. You know, the moon receives its light borrowed from the sun. I was thinking about all the things that the moon made an importance in my life. And one of the things I thought about is kind of humorous. You'll probably get a little smile out of it. But I always remind my wife when there's a full moon. Brother Harper, I tried to find out where was the origin of honey moon. Anybody else get romantic in a full moon? I'm the only honest man in the whole church. We're going to have an altar call called repentance in just a bit. Are you raising your hand?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, you're raising your hand. Church ought to be a place where you're in love with each other. Not a place where you bite and devour one another, and a place where you judge one another. And I'm going to tell you something about the moon. The moon has phases. There's times when the moon's not full. But if you'll wait, it will be. He said the church not only as fair as the moon, and I'm trying to hurry, said it was clear as the sun. I'm going to take a minute here, and I'm going to talk to you as the daddy of this district right now. And it's time you better get clear about what you believe. I sent you a letter weeks ago. And in that letter, I made an appeal to every minister in this district. And I ask you to stay the work. I talked to you about the Articles of Faith. The Articles of Faith of the United Pentecostal Church are not just bylaws and written in a book that you get in the mail the first of every year. But the Articles of Faith of the United Pentecostal Church are Bible-based. I say they're Bible-based. And the fundamental doctrine of this church that says in order for a man or a woman to be born again, they must repent of their sins, be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, and be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. I agree with the Apostle Paul. There is one Lord, there is one faith, and there is one baptism. Yeah. You're worried about making the church relevant in today's culture? Forget it. Stay the work! Don't try to disguise your church on its website. I've heard about pastors saying, telling their leaders, don't speak in tongues in the pulpit, you might offend somebody. Don't teach the essentiality of water baptism in Jesus' name in your Sunday school class, you might run somebody off. This book said the church is as clear as the sun. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Yes. And he said, men don't light a candle and cover it up with an umbrella, a basket. No, but they put it in display that it can light the house. Listen, folks, this is a dark, dark world. And if you'll stand and shine clear as the sun, you will attract people. Do you know what draws everybody to people to Florida to retire? It's not snow. It's sunshine. Be clear, Pastor, in what you stand for in your church. These people that are saying it don't matter whether you cut your hair anymore, don't matter where you buy your clothes anymore, sanctification's not important anymore. You know what those same folks are doing? They're saying we're having baptisms twice a year. When you tell me you're only going to have a baptism twice a year, you know what you're telling me? You don't believe it's essential anymore. I'm going to tell you what. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This is not my farewell sermon, but it's next to last. And I want to leave making sure you know where I believe and where I stand. I'm going to quit before I start meddling. I'm going to tell you young men, don't you let Joe Osteen be your hero. Don't you let T.D. Jakes be your hero. Let me tell you who ought to be your heroes. These guys sitting up here with that gold around their neck. That's who ought to be your hero. I want to say tonight there will be some teaching for our young men, age 42 and down, those even aspiring to the ministry. You don't have credentials, but you're aspiring. You want to be involved in the ministry, the work of God. We're going to have a special session for you called our Timothy Group. It was first pioneered and put into being by our beloved Brother Harper a few years ago. And Saturday we're going to meet here in this church for a few hours, and we're going to talk to you. I have no fear of the future. Everybody under 42, you ministers that are either in the ministry now or you're aspiring to minister, I want you to stand right now. 42 and younger. Look here, Adam. Look at these young men. I'm going to tell you what. While they're standing, I want you to reach your hand toward one of them that's nearby you. We're going to pray for them right now. Hallelujah. Stay to work! Hallelujah. stay the word, brethren. Be seated. Don't be embarrassed to preach sanctification. Amen. Sanctification is a progressive work. I'm 64 years old, but I'm still walking closer to Jesus and desiring to draw closer to Him every day. It's an ongoing process in our lives. Paul said, I have not yet apprehended. But this one thing I do, I don't live in the past. He said metaphorically, the church was terrible as an army with banners. I had so many other things I wanted to say, but time forbids. This church is a militant force in the earth. Brother Bounds, what did you tell me today? Where are you, Frank Bounds? What did you tell me today that they teach the Mormon babies, children, when they're growing up? Stand up, everybody can hear you.
They teach them from the time that they can understand. One day
they're going to go on their mission trip. All the way through, kindergarten, grade school, high school. Brother Bounds is just home from Salt Lake City, the home of the Mormons. They teach their children from the time they're youngins. You're going to give some time to missions work. Brothers and sisters in the United Pentecostal Church, we are failing in that area. Amen. Some of us are more interested in football scholarships than we are the call of God. We're more interested in degrees from an institution of higher learning, and I'm not against education. Brother Fazalor stands here with us, taught us this morning as a young man when he got out of high school. I encouraged him to pursue his secular education and to learn all he can learn. He's proficient in Spanish, proficient in French. He can interpret in both languages and a whole lot of other things. And because of that, it's positioned him to do a great... When you go to college and you send your children to college, send them with the idea, I'm going to get an education so I can better serve my King. Not about how much money I can make and whether I can retire at 50 years old or not, but how can I impact the kingdom of God? There are and is a certain secular or a certain religious sect that terrifies all of us. And when we address the radical Muslim influence in our culture, it terrifies us. Do you know why it terrifies us? Because they're not afraid to die for what they believe.
That's right.
We can't even show up for church if we got a headache. We don't have time to teach a home Bible study. I get so sick of people come and tell me, Brother Lawrence, I need time off from the choir. I need time off from teaching my Sunday school class. You got time to go deer hunting? Got time to play golf and go fishing? Got time to do your hobbies and all that stuff? Don't have time to be involved in the work of God? You know what it tells me? You got a wrong perspective. God says, my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.